Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Heat Nation, welcome in to Believe in Miami Heat, draft day edition. I know it's normally Wednesday, but we had to wait till Thursday to get it out because we want to react to the draft. Precious Achiuwa, the newest member of the Miami Heat with the 20th overall pick. Not the guy I think a lot of people down here were expecting, but I think, based on what I've seen and what my guest today is going to tell us, I don't know what he's going to say, it's a guy that the Heat, in particular, Heat fans are going to love. Just based on the type of game he has. Before we get to my guest today, look, I say it every week, and I think you guys are listening, but if you're not listening, just believe me when I say this. BetOnline.ag, this is the place you need to go. Look, NBA season's coming, so we're going to be able to bet on NBA soon, but NFL season, it's in full swing. You're not going to the games. Some of you are going to the games. I'm not going to the games, but I'm betting on the games. I'm still in the action on BetOnline. And I've been telling you every week to hammer the Dolphins since Tua came in, and we're riding the wave. Keep betting Tua. But if you do want to bet NBA, that's fine. Where's Russell Westbrook going next if he gets traded? Knicks plus 275. I'll take that bet. And you could take that bet on BetOnline. The game spreads and totals, team and player and coaching props. BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. There's always the online casino, and as noted on this podcast, I am addicted to it in a good way because I win money. I win money, baby. I win money. Blackjack all night on BetOnline's casino. Head over to betonline.ag today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag. Sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so I didn't mention who my guest was off the top, but he's a former colleague of mine, podcast producer extraordinaire, college basketball extraordinaire, Tony Leavitt. He is at Hated or Leavitt on Twitter. He's going to come in right now and he's going to help us figure out, do we hate or love Precious Achiuwa? First of all, welcome to the show. I feel like I keep saying his Achiuwa. Is that it? Achiuwa?
A softer A, like you're sneezing. Achiuwa.
Okay.
Okay. Precious Achiuwa.
Achiuwa. Okay. Achiuwa.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I might be getting it wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's it.
Okay. So, all right. Let's start here with Precious Achiuwa. From what I've seen of this guy, he was a big time recruit, right? Out of high school. He was a
solid recruit, number 15.
Yeah. Okay. So he was part of that massive haul that Penny Hardaway has been bringing in it over there in Memphis. He strikes me as an absolute freak of an athlete, maybe one of the best athletes in the draft. But tell us a little bit about his game in general. I know the athleticism just watching him play, but what does he bring to the Heat right off the bat?
Yeah, I mean, with Precious Achiuwa, it starts on the defensive end. This guy's a rock. I actually spent a decent amount of time thinking about Memphis last year. They were a curious team. And Precious Achiuwa, his role on that team over the course of that short season really changed drastically a couple of times. But throughout, Penny expected and relied on Precious Achiuwa to provide that defensive stability on the back end. And for me, looking at the Miami Heat, I mean, you know, I don't think this pairing is going to happen often, but if you put him and Bam down there at the four and the five, I mean, that's fierce. That's fierce. That's two guys who can switch in the pick and roll, obviously huge in the NBA game. Two guys are going to block shots. We're going to bang when someone wants to come in the post. And just thinking on that end, and especially as soon as they made this pick, I thought about, you know, who are the young guys on the Miami Heat? You've got these tremendous offensive players on the wings, but they might be a bit defensively limited. And how do you protect against that? You know, one way is to have guys like Jay Crowder, Jimmy Butler, guys who can go mano a mano, and, you know, pair them on the wing so you can kind of hide your Tyler Hero on someone on the wing who, you know, can't maybe attack them as well. Another way is to have a tremendously strong back line, which is what I see with Bam and Precious.
Yeah, it's fun. I'm glad you mentioned that because Pat Riley actually, he addressed the media tonight, you know, even before the draft was over. And one of the questions he got was about whether Precious and Bam could play together, given the potential offensive limitations of them to on the floor together. He said, "No doubt in my mind that sometime in the game, as a coach, when you get frustrated with your defense, you can play those guys together." So, and I think, look, we saw it in the finals when the Lakers went really big; they had a little bit of trouble guarding those guys. Particularly early, I think in game one, before Myers Leonard ended up having to play minutes, Dwight Howard gave them fits. And we'll see. I mean, look, you don't want to have to rely. Myers Leonard's a free agent. Kelly Olynyk doesn't play defense. So just having Bam, they need some depth. So it's good to hear. What about on the offensive end? I mean, could he potentially develop? I know Riley, another thing he mentioned was that he's a pretty decent ball handler. Can he develop into a somewhat of a perimeter threat, or is he going to be primarily at a rim, around the rim type of big?
I think at least to start, he'll be around the rim. You know, I spoke at length with Brooks Hansen from 24/7 Sports' Memphis site last year about Precious and his developing role, because when he came into Memphis, obviously he wasn't supposed to be the guy. You know, that was James Wiseman. Number two pick tonight. And then all of a sudden, James Wiseman goes out. Just after James Wiseman goes out, Memphis's number two scorer, DJ Jeffries, he goes out. And, you know, you really did me an unfair one. I'm going to go on a bit of a tangent here. Last week, you had Gary Parrish on, and I'm supposed to follow that. That's not fair to me. GP is the GOAT.
Right. But shouldn't that say something about the respect I have for your knowledge that I'm bringing you on after GP? I could have brought hold on. I could have brought you on before GP and then had him on after and completely bury you. So think
that
about
that. That is true. So GP likes to say that, you know, no college basketball team is going to lose their top two scores and get better. Well, Memphis did that, and the number one reason was Precious Achiuwa. All of the things that Penny had designed for James Wiseman at the beginning of the season, he said, okay, Precious, this is you now. And when you come in and see Precious Achiuwa, freshman of the year in the AAC, player of the year in the AAC, that's because he stepped up into that offensive role. You know, it was very limited, and I think for Spo, you know, it's going to be, how are we going to scheme offense around him? You know, I was talking to a couple of friends of mine. They knew that I was coming on the show tonight. They're like, well, what do you think? And I was like, you know, given the way that the Heat run those fast motions for their shooters on the wings, and there's movement throughout the whole offense, I think that actually plays into what Precious did at Memphis. They really wanted him to touch the ball, one dribble max, hit in the hole. And with the way the Miami Heat moved the basketball, I see that being a very natural fit, considering what he stepped into last year for Memphis. Moreover, culturally, I think this is just a tremendous fit. When you think about a guy who wasn't supposed to be the dude and then became the dude, and not just the dude for his team, for the conference, freshman of the year, player of the year, again, in the AAC, not a bad basketball conference. When you think about the Miami Heat, you think about people stepping up into that role. And I was curious, you know, this afternoon as we were going into the draft, are the Heat going to draft someone who I think, you know, in college really embodied those Heat values? Precious Achiuwa is that guy.
Yeah, I think it does strike me very much like the Bam pick, where it's a guy who went into college. I mean, he ended up, look, because of the circumstances at Memphis, like you said, Precious became the guy. But a guy who highly recruited out of high school, goes to college, and then flies under the radar for some reason in the draft. Precious more so than Bam, obviously, falls to 20. But then also now, the way you describe him, he seems very similar to Bam. Like, it seems like his game could develop very much the way Bam's has.
Let me even one up this. The guys on the 24/7 Sports Memphis site, they did this really cool project. They looked back after Precious kind of took off. He was the number 15 prospect in the 24/7's composite, and they looked back at 15 years of the number 15 prospect. And the only two people who were ever ranked number 15 who panned out, this is an aggressive comparison.
I know who they are.
Go ahead.
It's Giannis and Kawhi, right?
No. The prospect coming out of high school.
Oh. I thought you meant number 15 in the draft. My bad. I totally blanked there.
Precious Achiuwa and James Harden. So everybody else didn't pan out. Like, it seems like that number 15 range in the prospect rankings is a place where they're looking for upside. And more often than not, these are people who don't deliver. Mm-hmm. And it says something to me about Precious that he delivered, that he wasn't just upside. Because ultimately, these guys who are springy, going to block shots, you know, supposedly they're great on the defensive end, those are guys who don't pan out. I mean, how many do we need to name?
Right.
Precious Achiuwa averaged 20 points a game for Memphis last year.
He averaged 20 a game.
I think so.
Wow.
Right? Wasn't that it? I'll look it up.
Yeah. No, that is telling, because, you know, a lot of times, even though they lost two of their better scorers, having to jump into that role and be that kind of scorer, regardless, even if it's not 20, even if it's in the teens, I mean, shows that he has that ability, even in, I mean, I know it's a weaker conference, but still, I mean, yeah, that's a good sign. I think it's a good sign also, like, when you talk about the Heat, you know, the Riley said that Keith Askins, who's one of the assistants in Miami and has worked in the organization forever, did a lot of the legwork in terms of finding out information about this guy. And if you know, if you're obviously Heat fans, no, but if you know anything about Keith Askins, this is like the ultimate franchise workhorse. Like, that's what he was known for, Heat culture, when he was a player, working hard, being that type of guy. So it's a good sign. I think, like you said, culturally, he seems like he's a perfect, perfect fit. I think, you know, one of the things, and I think also, no, now let me ask you.
16 a game. 16. I exaggerate.
16. We'll round up to 20. Now let me ask you this. It seems as though, because Riley was asked about free agency, he was asked about, you know, the rest of the offseason, and he sort of doubled down again tonight on wanting to run it back with what the current iteration of this team is. Meaning, unless, I mean, let's say they maybe, I think they end up possibly bringing back Myers Leonard, but he also wasn't playing a ton towards the end of the playoffs. Kelly O's back he's on the last year of his deal. But if they're running it back with the same team, that means Precious could end up playing pretty quickly. Do you see all these things that you are saying about Precious, do you see them translating as a rookie?
I don't see why not. I mean, even before the defense, the number one thing he's going to offer is rebounding. And you know, a second unit, you need that. I'm very curious to see who the Heat will run out with him. You know, I like to think about who from that starting lineup is going to stay out with that second unit. I wonder if they'll leave Jimmy on the court with him, give him that stability. I don't know. But that's something that I was thinking about after the Heat made that pick. Like, who are they going to, you know, identify as that person among that, you know, top five, six guys on the roster who they want to pair? Make sure that Precious is paired with this person. I think that'll be really telling about how much they trust his ability to kind of rock with the offense, or how much they really want to make sure that he's just, you know, he's there and he can do what he needs to do on the boards and on the defensive side, and on the offense, they'll kind of take it easy. I think it'll be really telling if you see him out there with like a Hero and Duncan situation, that's asking a lot of him, I think. Mm-hmm. And I think that'd be really telling early in the season.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think the good thing is it seems as though like Goron will be back. They'll sign him on a big 1-year deal. Jay Crowder, in all likelihood, will be back. So there is a good mixture of vets that could be out there with him, even if it's not Jimmy, that to at least have some comfort level with on the floor. And depends also who else. Iguodala is still going to be there unless he gets moved. Like, they have an interesting mix, at least for the regular season, of guys that can make him comfortable out on the floor. So that's helpful.
Let me ask you a question, actually. I was talking to some buddies earlier, and I was saying, like, could the Heat could theoretically throw out, like, a disastrously bad offensive lineup that is stifling on defense. Like, do you imagine, like, that could happen? They were only 12th in defensive efficiency last year. Mm-hmm. But, like, if you put out Jimmy Crowder at the 2 and the 3, whatever point guard, whoever, and then Bam and Precious, like, that's stifling.
I mean, I don't see why not for stretches. Mm-hmm. Of a game. And I think that sort of speaks to what Riley was saying, which was, if you ever get to a point in the game where you're just getting, you know, you're getting pounded out and you're frustrated with the way your defense is playing, play Bam and Precious together to stack up that back line, like you said. You go Jimmy. I mean, even just having those three on the floor, and then, yeah, you could go Jay or Iguodala at the three.
Yeah.
You could even, you want to take it, I'll take you a step further. You could go Iguodala at the one, or Jimmy at the one. You know what I mean? And now
that's really bad offense.
That is a bad. It is. It is.
I mean, like, do you have anybody there you want behind the 3-point line? Genuinely,
Precious, if he can develop. Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder's streaky, but he can knack.
You told me not to.
I know. Okay, fine. Full disclosure. Tanya is he's a Celtics guy. So what do you have to say about Jay Crowder?
He's going to turn into a pumpkin. He already has. Like, the season is over. The season of amazing shooting is over. You get one. When he's on your team, you get one good season with Jay Crowder. And I love Jay Crowder. The dude's a dog. And I know things ended poorly with him in the Celtics. He's a dog. I respect the hell out of him. But he's going to turn into a pumpkin. He is not going to shoot heat people. I do not want you to come into the season. Like, you'll get disappointed. He is not going to do that again.
Well, the good thing is he'll be on a one-year deal. So if he absolutely sucks, then they can probably move him. Yeah. So that's a positive, but yeah, we'll see. I agree with you, by the way. I've seen the way I saw the way it panned out. So hopefully he feels maybe a little less pressure to be something that he's not in Miami. I don't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Look,
we'll see.
You know, the one downside of this pick, I think, is Precious in a specific way added to something the Heat have a lot of, and that's guys who are good on one side of the ball, significantly more so than the other. I would say Bam is really their only like person that 100% two-way player, because like I feel like Jimmy at any given moment, unless it's the end of the game, he's kind of focused on one end or the other, and everybody else is like clearly an offense or defensive guy, especially if you think that Crowder's going to turn into a pumpkin, which I do, and that might have been a spot where you would look for a 3-and-D guy or someone maybe a little more developed on the offensive end. I know you were kind of interested in Quickly.
No, Maxie.
You know, Maxie. I'm sorry. I'm mixing up my Kentucky guys. But, yeah. You know, like, I just wonder if that's, like, going to be a little restrictive for Spo, that he's got all these guys who, you know, are really good at a specific thing, but not flexible in terms of being able to do both things. I don't know. He's certainly a million times smarter than me about basketball, but like that, I feel like that's going to be a challenge for him.
Yeah. Well, they still have their mid level. So we'll see who they pick up there and go out and get there. There's the other guy I wanted to ask you about. So down here, it seemed like a lot of people, at least local radio, and what do they know, right? They're just all sort of speculating. But it seemed like a lot of people down here had it in their mind that the Heat might go after Vernon Carey. Now, look, Vernon Carey, Miami guy, his father, Miami guy. And Vernon Carey was working out down here. He lost he lost like 30 pounds since the season during quarantine. So people were like, oh, he works hard. Based on your reaction when we were even talking about Vernon Carey before, I'm assuming you think the Heat made the right call in not taking Vernon Carey.
Yeah, I mean, like, Vernon Carey strikes me as a Jahlil Okafor type. Ooh. Like, oh, you know, like,
oh god,
that I mean, there is a very open space at Duke for that kind of player. It's actually funny because this upcoming season they really don't have that guy. Which is interesting. But there have been a whole bunch of examples of that kind of player coming out of Duke, and how many of them were good in the NBA? Like all due respect to Vernon, all due respect to Ja, amazing players, but like, I don't see room for that kind of player right now. Like even Bagley in Sacramento, like, you know, he put up buckets, but I mean, dude got torched. Like, I don't see room for that in today's NBA. And on this Heat team, why? Like, are you like worried that like you're not going to get enough offensive production from elsewhere? Like that doesn't strike me as what's happening.
So Vernon Carey is more of like a below the rim big. Is he similar to Jahlil in that way, or is he a little more athletic?
I can't really speak to his like measurables and stuff, but like certainly seemed like he played that way. Yeah. I mean, look, the dude balled out. The dude balled out last year, and you can't deny that. And ultimately, I believe that if you ball out in college, it could absolutely translate. But like, if
it could also
is
not.
Any, exactly.
Also very much not. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are only so many spaces for ballers in the NBA.
Yeah, fair. Yeah, I guess so.
There are like 350 college basketball teams, you know?
Right, that's true.
A lot of good players.
That's very true. All right, so it seems like the Heat got a pretty good one. I'm looking around the rest of the East, so we know you're not happy with what happened with your Celtics.
I mean, like, just not 100% sure. Like, look, I 100% believe in Danny Ainge. And if you believe that these are the picks, these are the picks. Like, Danny Ainge is the dude, right? So, you know, I can scoff at Aaron Nesmith and Peyton Pritchard, but, you know, Aaron Nesmith, top shooter in the draft, Peyton Pritchard, Pac-12 player of the year, a four-year stud guy who started pretty much every game for, oh, I'm sorry, 3 years, started pretty much every game he was at Oregon. Dude's a winner. Dude's a baller. I really thought that the Celtics might have wanted to get some big man help. You know, like the Time Lord just, he's an enigma. Cantor.
Sure.
I mean, he's Enes Kanter. And I love Tice, but, you know, dude's 6'9". At some point, you need some bulk. I thought they might have gone Xavier Tillman with that pick where they got Pritchard, but I trust Danny.
All right, fair enough. A team that I think in the East is so interesting, right? Because now Pat Riley's seems very adamant that he's running it back, but it seems like every other team in the East – there's like an arms race starting to go on now. We don't know. It looks like Brooklyn, every other day, it kind of changes. One day they are getting Harden, the next day they're not getting Harden. So we'll see what happens there.
They were kind of tossing around the Heat on the low post the other day.
For what, Harden?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Heat kind of have been mentioned with a lot of these guys because the overwhelming thought down here has been for a long time that they're setting up to get Giannis. And I think now that it seems now we don't know with Giannis, because it's another thing we should obviously, since this is a draft podcast, we should mention today that the trade that the Bucks made for Bogdan Bogdanovic has fallen through. So yeah. The move that they made, so they now have traded three first round picks and two first round pick swaps for Drew Holiday, and they thought they traded for Bogdan Bogdanovic to make moves to make the team better for Giannis to sign the Supermax. But apparently neither team decided to tell Bogdan Bogdanovic that he was signing an extension or a deal with Milwaukee, and now he's testing free agency. He's a restricted free agent. Now here's the interesting thing with that is he's a restricted free agent, so technically Sacramento can match anything that he signs and then trade him to Milwaukee. So I think ultimately it seems like he's still going to be in Milwaukee.
Well, what's Milwaukee's cap situation? Can they handle it if it
becomes like way too much? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I got to see what the numbers on the contracts that they were sending back. It's a good point. But either way, I guess if you're a Miami fan and you're still trying to hold out hope for Giannis, the positive would be, if I'm Giannis, I'm like, dude, guys, we can't even, I mean, these are things we should know before we make this trade, right? Like, we're trying to get better and we can't even figure out how to trade for Bogdan Bogdanovic. Like, it'd be an issue. It still seems like it's trending towards Giannis ending up in Milwaukee, staying in Milwaukee, though. So I think that's why a lot of other players start to get put in that Heat, because the Heat have been setting themselves up to have space for 2021 for so long. It's like, all right, if we don't get Giannis, who is it going to be? Brad Beal? Is it going to be Harden? Who's it going to be?
Mm-hmm.
But the team I think got better is Philly. They got off that Al Horford deal. And I know your guy, Al Horford. They moved Josh Richardson to Dallas and got Seth Curry, so they got Danny Green and Seth Curry. I don't know if Danny Green stays, but two good shooters that make more sense for what they're doing there with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. And a guy, they drafted a guy who I it seems again from your reaction that you don't love, but I was thinking maybe the Heat would take him if he fell to them, was Tyrese Maxey.
Maxey is a curious guy. I mean, It was weird. I really expected him to be the guy in Kentucky last year and then quickly became that dude. Maxey was kind of up and down that way. Really was surprised to see that, because all of the scouts at 24/7 Sports were so in on Maxey. I mean, you know, they just really loved the way he played, the way he looked when he played.
I was at the beginning of the year, the first couple games I saw him play, I was like, holy shit, this is the guy.
And then I mean, look, you know, Cal was on the broadcast tonight on ESPN during the draft, and he said, you know, everyone comes in here, nothing's given to you, you have to work. And I think that's what happened to him. You know,
he didn't quickly work.
No, I'm saying quickly just really went and took it and became SEC player of the year. I mean, what, like, at a certain point when you're on Kentucky, it's easy to get lost, you know, when you're literally one of five stars on your team, it's very easy to lose touches. You know, I was doing a project, kind of using projections to see who's going to be next year's first round picks. And one of the things that I was really tracking is usage rate. Well, there's only so much time on the court to go around. Your usage rate really correlates with such things. And like, ultimately, quickly ended up being that dude down the stretch for them as they, you know, went to win the SEC. But Tyrese Maxey's always been that guy from the scouting perspective. And that's not really something that I can really speak to. I'm not a scout or anything, you know, any more than I sit, on the couch and I watch and I text my boys. But, right. You know, look, that dude, if everything I've heard is true, the ceiling is all the way up there, way above the rim. So it's an interesting pick for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think the reason I thought it was interesting for the Heat is, first of all, I do think he's a really good player with huge upside. Like, watching him play, I think he's going to be a straight up bucket getter in the NBA. Now, the other thing was, I'm not a superstitious person by nature, but I'm like, all right, well, Kentucky worked out pretty good 2 years ago. Kentucky worked out pretty good last year. Both guys slipped. Both guys kind of flew under the radar. Okay, now this guy slips, came into college season as a lottery pick type guy, falls to 20. All right, let's take a chance. Let's just do it, you know? 2 out of 3 ain't bad if he doesn't pan out, but you know, it seems like Kentucky's been pretty good to Miami over the last couple, these past 2 years.
Yeah. I'm just, shit. Who is the shooting guard who played with Fox at Kentucky?
With De'Aaron Fox at Kentucky. You mean that's in the?
Yeah, he's in the league. He like got drafted 9th. Same
Booker.
Same
You're talking about Devin Booker?
No. He's super skinny. He's a shooter. Fox.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Cause like he is a huge bucket at Kentucky, was all that, I think ranked higher than Fox in the recruiting rankings coming into college, balled out with Fox. They went to the Elite Eight and then came to the league and he's like nothing. And like, that's my worry with Maxey.
So you think do you think the kid quickly is going to be better?
No, not necessarily. I mean, like you said, these things,
Malik Monk.
They correlate. Malik Monk. Thank you. Like Malik Monk, that, like, I think it speaks volumes that we couldn't remember his name. And yeah, like, that dude was bomb in threes.
That's also, does it speak volumes? Is it a Malik Monk thing, or is it more that every year Kentucky has 5 guys in the draft? So how do you remember who played what year?
Well, fair enough. But, you know, that is the Kentucky bust in the NBA. The guy who looks the part, who shows flashes, and, you know, for reasons that no one can really like tap into, doesn't pan out. You know, I saw signs of that for Maxey last year. There's every reason to think that he could just snap out of that when he's not, you know, relative to the competition, you know, drowned out, oversaturated with guys who need the ball. Who knows? I'm just saying, like, I have Malik Monk in the back of my mind as I see the Kentucky guards this year.
Interesting. Okay, fair enough. Well, then, look, I think my takeaway ultimately here right now is, if I'm a Heat fan and I'm listening to you talk about these other guys that were potentially there, I'm pretty happy with the direction the Heat went.
I think absolutely this is the exact year to take a pick like the Heat did, right? Like, if throughout the college basketball season last year, the whole conversation was this is a weak recruiting class coming into the year. And then on top of that, like, half of the guys disappointed. And so when you're looking at guys like Cole Anthony just like dropping, James Wiseman not playing, like Anthony Edwards, he's hit or miss. All of a sudden, you're looking at like the depth and the quality of this recruiting class and now this NBA draft class, and you're just like, where's the star power? And if you can get someone who's going to be a role player, who's going to be reliable, pretty quickly, I think, in the NBA. This is the year to do it. And like I see all these, you know, go throughout the beginning of the week, all these trade talks about, you know, people valuing the top picks in the draft this year. I was like, why?
Oh yeah.
Who is it that's really catching your fancy? Because like I don't understand that. Like did nobody read like just the front page of any college basketball website last year? Like these guys aren't it. It's next year. Next year and the year after. Those are the years with the guys. And like so if that's the quality and the tenor coming into this draft, like why wouldn't you grab a sure thing? And to me, Precious Achiuwa, I know the effort is there. I know the defense is there. The offense, okay, huge question mark. You know, is he ever going to be anything other than a role guy? I don't know. But is he going to work? Is he going to deliver to the team? Is he going to be able to step up when the team needs him? We saw that happen.
Yeah, that's a great point. And look, at 20, if he becomes that next level, it's a bonus. I mean,
yeah,
but
absolutely.
But if he does all the things that you're saying he's going to do or that he should do, that he showed at Memphis at 20, then you hit a home run because it's hard at that point in the draft to find a guy who can give you all those things and arguably be one of the best athletes in the entire draft, you know? So
yeah.
It looks like a home run for the Heat.
I don't want to use the word home run because
I'm going to use it.
Cover my ass, but I don't know if we could say that word. But
yes, yeah. you could say whatever words you could say.
Yeah,
all the
so
words.
I would like to cover my ass, so I won't say home run. But like I really like this pick. I think he's a safe player. He's a reliable player. I like people who were able to get it done, and he got it done in really adverse circumstances last year. And you know, I think it's not something to just leave out to the side that he played for Penny, former NBA player, wanted to run an NBA system, and
Mike
I like this pick.
Mike Miller, also
true,
former Heat,
true, yeah, good connection.
Yeah, no, they Riley. That's one of the things I think they mentioned in Riley's press conference tonight was that they were in pretty. They got you know obviously rave reviews from Penny and Mike Miller, who are former Heat guys. Who I guess they both said that he's not only. All these things that you said, but that he's also just very mature for a 20-year-old, that coming in, he'll be able to handle his business within that. Because obviously the Heat, more so than a lot of teams, it's not just like, can we develop them? It's like, can they handle this culture? You know, I had James Posey on the podcast over a month ago. And, you know, he was very effusive in the fact that it's real. Like, it's not easy to handle.
James Posey.
Yeah, I think we have the same affinity for that guy, but that it's very real. Like, it's not the type of situation in Miami. Like, not everybody can come down there and just handle the way they run their operation.
Did
so,
James win a title with Miami?
He did.
Wow. Good for him, dude.
He won in 06.
Is that 06?
He was on the 06 team. He was – so, remember – I don't know if you remember this, and we'll just talk a little James Posey before we wrap up.
Let's do it.
The by number of players, the largest trade in NBA history was the Antoine Walker trade that the Heat. It was like a 5-team deal. 13 players got traded. In the Heat went to Game 7 in 05 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Then in the offseason, Riley pulls off this. What I don't know how you even make a 5-team 13-player deal work in the NBA that brought in Antoine Walker, James Posey and Jason Williams, White Chocolate. And
those are some names.
And if you remember that team, Posey was huge. Particularly in the finals, like he had some huge buckets for the Heat late in the finals. He was big for Miami. And according to Antoine Walker, because, you know, Posey has his own podcast now, too.
Oh, yeah.
And he had Antoine Walker on, I think it was Antoine who was on his show, said that him and Pose, they were the guys who, like, before they got there, Miami, like, athletes being out in Miami nightlife wasn't really a thing. He said that they went hard and made it, like, the cool thing for athletes to be out in Miami.
I believe Antoine Walker did that.
Well, he said, like, the first night they got traded there, They went out and got after it because they got traded there at the same time. So the press conference and all that stuff. And then immediately right after there, boom, streets.
I love that.
He told a cool story. I think he told a story about getting in a fight at a club or something, too. It was pretty cool.
That's a bit much for me, but like all the power to him. I love it. I love the energy, honestly. I don't think that's something Precious Achiuwa is going to be doing, but I love the energy.
I mean, he'll play with that James Posey energy.
Yeah. But I don't think he's getting any fights.
Yeah.
Though, like, I mean, whatever. It's heat culture. If someone's trying to throw down on the block, he'll get it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, especially now he's got, I mean, here's the thing. What's scarier? Not getting, like, getting in a fight in the game, right? For not sticking up for yourself. Or not getting in a fight in a game and then having to go to the bench and deal with Udonis Haslam. I'd rather just get in the fight, you know? Now Caron Butler's on the staff. I don't want to go back to the bench and have to deal with Caron Butler and Udonis Haslam.
Man, those are like the living spirits of Heat culture.
Absolutely. And the crazy thing, you know what's so funny about that too is Caron Butler comes back. Everybody loves Caron Butler down here, and for good reason. He only played for the team for 2 years.
People, I'm in Maryland right now, right outside DC. People here love Caron Butler too from his time at the Wizards.
It's wild. I mean, but he's just it's the way he played. So, and also, at least down here, he was on Wade's rookie team, and so that team was really kind of beloved in terms of Miami because it was Wade's first season. And also, it was sort of like the rebuild. Caron was the lottery pick the year before. And he's just, yeah, he is that as a player, that's how he was. I mean, he was that grinder, hardworking type, you know, player on the court, too. So, but it's funny because, you know, people love him so much. He was only here for 2 years. He was in the Shaq trade, I'm pretty sure.
If you get it, you get it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what it is.
Yeah, for sure. All right, dude. Appreciate you coming on here. It's so Hate It or Lev It on Twitter, LEVITT for the for the listeners. Yep. Check him out. Good follow. Guy knows his. He obviously knows his shit, or else I wouldn't have brought him on the pod right after Gary Parrish. As you know, appreciate you coming on. I think Heat fans are feeling pretty good tonight with what Roz did with that pick.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on. We'll have to keep an eye and see if I was right.
Yeah. All right, we will. Thanks, dude. See ya.
Yep.
There you have it, Heat Nation. Precious Achiuwa. Achiuwa. I'm going to get it right. Achiuwa. The newest member of the Miami Heat. Seems like he's going to be a good one. Of course he's going to be a good one. Because Pat Riley drafted him. You gotta trust the Heat front office. You got to trust what they've done down here, particularly these past couple years. So I'm excited. Tani got me excited for Precious Achiuwa, and we'll see what happens, but it's going to be an interesting next month or so heading into the season, so we'll see how Achiuwa fits. We'll see if anybody else is headed to Miami or if we're just going to run it back. Like Ryle says, no matter what happens, it's going to be another fun year, and we are speeding towards December 22nd and the new start of the 2021 NBA basketball season. All right, I'll see you guys next week. And until next time, as always.
Heat Nation. I love you.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.